People like me say all the time that Jesus is the master teacher. We write books on it. We craft entire lecture programs around it. We preach series of sermons on it. Yet, when we preach, a lot of the time, when we preachers preach, we don't even try to preach like Jesus preached. We're not even taught to try to preach like Jesus preached in many instances. In fact, we're taught by a great number of people, or we have it impressed upon us from a number of sources and directions and reinforced upon us in a variety of ways, that to even try to preach like Jesus preached is to not preach at all. There's an obvious dissonance between praising Jesus as the greatest teacher who ever lived and how unlike Jesus we sometimes teach and preach. What would I compare that to? It's like a college student who was assigned to write a sermon on the parable of the Good Samaritan, and then to walk across the campus to the lecture hall and deliver that speech. But on the way across the campus, he encountered an injured person, and he kept on walking. Or even worse, he actually stepped over the injured person, even though they were moaning and groaning, because he was told that he was going to be late to deliver his sermon on the Good Samaritan. That was an actual study, by the way, that was conducted at Stanford University in 1973. Likewise, there's a dissonance between proudly proclaiming Jesus as the master of all teachers while not even attempting to teach the way that Jesus taught. Mark tells us about Jesus in the passage that was read for us a moment ago, that the common people heard him gladly. The average person loved listening to Jesus. Had we been there, we would have loved listening to Jesus preach and teach. On the one side, his teaching was extremely simple. On the other side, his teaching was highly imaginative and creative and full of depth. People were spellbound by Jesus. Jesus knew what we all know and what we've all known pretty much since time began, which is that people can, in fact, they were created for it, and they will anchor themselves to a good story. A lot of preachers fail to do that. I would know, I'm a recovering preacher myself. But I have to tell you, the imaginative preacher often gets squashed by preacher types. The gatekeepers of Jesus' day did it to him. I can't help but wonder if any preachers today, if Jesus showed up and filled our pulpits, would crucify him on style alone. When you have the hyper-vigilant ears of a preacher's kid, which I do, you can't help but absorb the criticisms about preaching and preachers. I would imagine that most preachers don't like to hear themselves, but maybe preachers' sons hate to hear themselves more. I know I'm one. But if you're still dumb enough to go on and preach after all that anyway, there's no use complaining about it. But if you're conscientious at all, you just can't shake the notion, the more you study for yourself, that the greatest theology the world ever knew and the greatest theology the world will ever know didn't come from preacher types. They came by way of the stories Jesus told. We can memorize all the theology of Moses. I know people do it. Maybe somebody here has done that. I heard about, I've never met anyone like this, I don't think. If I did, I didn't know. But I've heard about people who called themselves or were called walking Bibles, who had memorized not books. I've known people that memorized books. I've memorized entire chapters of books. I couldn't do it. I couldn't recite it now. I could probably botch my way through a few of them. But the whole Bible. We can memorize all the theology of Moses, which is impressive. Even more impressive if we could somehow memorize the entirety of the Bible. What an incredible feat that would be. And that wouldn't be a bad thing to do. But the point is, we can memorize all the theology that Moses taught us. We can memorize all the theology that the prophets delivered and still not know the Father any better than when we hear Jesus teach a parable about a father and his two sons. That one parable condenses thousands of years of human history and divine purpose into a one-minute story. You'll never know God more powerfully than you will from that one story. We, and many of us do, we can spend our lives systematically dissecting the text and still not come any closer to knowing God than when we've heard Jesus teach about a shepherd who is desperately seeking to find one lost sheep. Or Jesus telling the story of the woman who's desperately scouring her house to find her lost coin. Those parables, and of course those three all work in concert in the greater context there in the Gospel of Luke, but these parables all boil down the whole saga of human redemption to a single relatable moment to a person's life. You will not have missed God if you can hear the story. You will know, you do know everything Moses wrote, everything the prophet said, if you hear those stories. 1,500 years worth of scripture packed into a short story. And we're still unpacking it. But it's not just true of Jesus' parables. It's also true of God's entire book. Upwards of 80% of our book, God's book that he's given to us, is narrative. Well, not all narrative. But it's him telling us about him and relating to us our story. It's almost 80% either narrative or other imaginative expressions like poetry or song or wisdom literature. 80%. Because in the end, what God wants from his proclaimers is not to impress you with our handling of the text. Jesus was the most impressive scholar that ever lived. Is that not true? Here, scholarship meets its ultimate expression. Did anyone know God Could anyone have known the Word of God more than the living Word of God, the embodiment of God's Word? Did anyone handle the text better than Jesus? But Jesus refuses to serve us a bland meal of text. Our God wants His people to hear their story over and again. I don't know if you did this when your kids were little, and I now don't remember. I think I do, actually. I was thinking about, we used to sit down in early December, and we would do an Advent reading, not because we're Catholic, obviously. Somebody asked me that one time when I told them that we did an Advent reading. It was just because it was convenient, and it took us to Christmas. So we would sit down every evening, and we would read these books that were designed to take you down to Christmas Eve. And we did that for years with the kids, with a great series of lessons, or books. I don't remember them telling us after those readings, and they were very short readings. I don't remember them saying, read it again. But I do remember, I just remembered one that we did read again. The monster at the end of this book. That one we read again and again. And I'm not going to do it for you. My kids are all grown now, but I do a pretty mean Grover. And I read the whole thing in Grover's voice. God wants His people to hear their story again and again. And yes, the parable of the soils, the story of the soils implies preparation on the part of the listener. I mean, there's four hearts in the story, right? Four different categories of heart. But God forgive those of us who assume that it's all on the hearer. Why should God's people be forced to eat bland and unseasoned food? When it's God's food, could anything be more enjoyable than to eat the meal that God has prepared for His people? And that's not to say that there isn't time for strong language and Jesus wasn't averse to that either. But the average person, isn't that what Mark was telling us? The average person, the common people, the average person had their fill of strong language and of rebuke and of legalese from the so-called scholars of his day. And what did that get them? The average person needed shelter from those people, and Jesus came to provide. The average person never thought about, couldn't afford the luxury of being as insincere as their teachers were. In Jesus' day, the scholarship of their scholars, the preaching of their preachers, did not reveal their God to them. Well, if that's not what preaching is, what is it? They hadn't revealed God. But due to probably a lot of unspoken reasons that we don't know, not least a grave lack of joyful imagination in their relationship with God, coupled with their own insecurities, need for power, need to feel important, their need to be known as the people who had been afforded the privilege of spending their days out fishing on God's lake, they had actually hidden God from them. Woe to you, experts in the law, Jesus said, because you've taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you've hindered those who were entering. Luke 11:52. Woe to you, teachers. Teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Matthew 23:13. And while that was happening, the average person heard Jesus gladly. Why? Jesus was joyfully imaginative. He knew God. He knew how awesome his Father was. He knew from his own personal relationship who his Father was, and he wanted everyone to know his Father. That's an incredible ceiling compared to where the ceiling is usually set. He wanted people to know that God wasn't just for the scholars, that they already knew him. If they simply had ears to hear and eyes to see, he was already in their house and in their habits and at their neighbor's house and in their livestock and in their agriculture and in their jobs and in their economics, in their government, in their clothing, in their merchants, in their social events, in their trades. It wasn't just the heavens declaring the glory of their Father. The redemptive voice of God was in every flower petal, every star, every blade of grass. God, our God, your God, every facet of our God, and every principle stamped in God's book has already been illustrated by God. There is nothing in God's word that wasn't already and isn't already in God's world. If we have ears to hear and eyes to see. As far as the lake that they were fishing, Jesus was fishing in the same lake. It's the same God. But he had no bobber on his line. No limitations to his depth. His hook went all the way to the bottom. And what he pulled up from the depths, talk about a fish story, was beyond anything anyone else had ever seen or imagined. But yet, it was so simple. It was so simple that a child could understand God. We're still trying to digest all the meals that Jesus served us. Jesus didn't just want people to know that he'd been out fishing on God's lake. He wanted people to know the God who created the lake. And if we preachers just want people to know that we've been fishing, we can do that. Jesus dismissed it as shallow. The average person, this room is filled with the average person. Most of you who have said, I've tasted and see that God is good. Those of you that have laid down your lives for Christ. Those of you that have promised your fortune, have promised your soul, have promised your life in service to Him. The average person doesn't have the good fortune that a person like me is afforded by people like you. Spend my days fishing God's lake. But that doesn't mean that I automatically know him better than you. In fact, if I'm not careful, I'll convince the likes of you that you can't know Him without the likes of me. But you already know that isn't true. Because the average person heard the greatest teacher who ever lived gladly. Your God, your Father, isn't just for the scholars or the so-called scholars. Oh, He can keep the scholars busy. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes busy is all they are. But God help those of us who by our own failure to see Jesus as the example that He actually is, that we say He is. God help those of us who have said in just so many words or who have implied merely by our failure to take His example more seriously than we should, that you need some biblical scholar to know your God, when all the average person ever really needed to do was have eyes to see and ears to hear. I encourage you, don't ever settle for anything less. Perhaps today there is someone who has never confessed Jesus as the Son of God, who's never repented of your sins and put Him on in baptism. The call from Him is to you, not from me. It's to you from Him. He loves you. He wants you to know how much you're loved. And as CJ mentioned a moment ago in his meditation at the table, as he described some, not even all, some of the suffering that He endured on our behalf, know that He chose that. He chose that for the love of you. He loves you that much. He loves you that much that that could not stop Him, would not stop Him. It was never a question. It was to show you how much He loves you, to show you how much your Father loves you. If it is the embodiment of what He said, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. That's how much He loves you. And He would do it again. He didn't have to do it again, but He would do it again. He chose that for you. He chose that story for Himself so that you would remember. So that you would remember His love for you. And if you've never come to Him, take advantage of the opportunity that you have. And if you're a child of God and there's anything that we can help or encourage you with, please let us know. We'll always stand and say.